Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the legendary Mike Keith to the program. Voice of the Tennessee Vols, which is weird for me to say. Mike, is that weird for you to hear? How are we doing? What's going on this morning?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show. It's certainly new. Pleased to hear it and excited to get the day started, get to Knoxville and get to work.
Yep, absolutely. So, Mike, obviously, Tennessee fans just are thrilled and really excited about this news. I'm just curious from you, when did this all kind of start to come together? And when the moment came and you realized that this was happening and you were going to do this, what kind of went through your mind when you thought about heading back to a place that that you love in Tennessee?
Well, I think at the moment it sort of formulated was when they kind of laid out what the job was going to be. And they had a really good idea for what it is. And, you know, at that point, you have to take everything out about the emotion of it and the emotion for how you feel. You know, that's one of the reasons you're interested and you think to yourself, okay, this would be something kind of special. But then you're like, okay, how would this work? And what would they want me to do? And does that fit what I can do or what I can't do? And they laid it out really well. You know, they made it really clear about where they think they're going with everything, what they want this role to be. Then I told them some things that I was interested in about the role, and they were like, that's exactly how we're thinking. And it was just really from the start, very professionally handled by them, and they had a plan. They were very professionally kind, two simple words to illustrate how they were towards me about it. They made it clear that they thought that I could be a person who could help them and that I would be somebody that would really fit what they wanted to do. And they felt like the fan base would be pleased if I chose to come back. And, you know, flattery will get you everywhere. at the same time, it was also about what they're doing right now there and how they see this role kind of being just one piece of the puzzle, not a major piece or, you know, anything in between, just a piece. And it's a great situation at a great time. And so when you put it all together, you say to yourself, is this something you want to do? You know, you say, do I want to try this? And I just said to myself, yeah, I want to give it a go. I think this is something that I would really like to try.
Mike, was there any talk at all or any consideration about the possibility of you still calling Titans games and then and doing the Vols games? Did that ever come up in discussion?
Very minorly. I mean, it was mentioned at one point, but not really.
Then, so for people who don't know, obviously Titans fans know you as the voice of the Titans, but you are heavily involved in so many other aspects of the organization. I mean, you are much more than I know, but I know that you are in everything, right? Like you are all over the place, and you are you know, promoting the franchise, and you're there for fans in a lot of different ways. I assume it's the same sort of idea. Like, what sort of things beyond calling football and men's basketball will you do with Tennessee?
Well, the reason I got hired here in the first place in 1998 was because my background was not just on air, but was in sales and marketing as well. I got hired more for that than I did for broadcasting. And so I've always worked with the sponsorship team. I've always worked with our ticketing folks a lot, you know, doing promotional things for them and doing things related to that. Obviously do things with what would be called today the creative team in terms of coming up with ideas for, you know, different features and things of that sort. So you're right. I've always kind of had my hands in a lot of different things. And that's the idea here, too. At Tennessee, they have the added element of the SEC network involvement. And all 16 schools in the Southeastern Conference have their own branch SEC network office. When we turn on the SEC network, Joe, what we generally see are football and basketball. You know, that's basically it. And the ESPN portion of that will put on the Saturday football games and the basketball games that we see. But there are also other elements, other sports that are done from the university itself. And then it's a whole group of people, too, who then work with the main SEC network, or ESPN, as it really is at that point, to facilitate a football broadcast and things of that sort. So, you know, there's a complete operation involved there, and I'm going to be involved in some of that and working with the students. You know, having the opportunity to work with the students will be something that will be a lot of fun for me. I know a bunch from here that have gone up there and done very well, and I'm looking forward to having that opportunity to be with them, maybe teach. You know, that's been mentioned at one point. That's not on the front burner, because obviously year one is going to be so much learning. I'm going to try not to really dive too deeply into everything eventually I want to do, but that's an exciting part of it, potentially.
Well, Mike, we talked on the show after this all came out, just about, you know, your personal journey and the impact that you've had on this city and the listeners here. I'm just curious, from your standpoint, as you think about heading back to Tennessee, what does this move mean to you personally, as you're kind of looking at the decision that you've made here and maybe some of the reasoning behind it beyond just the obvious of the job itself?
I'm really excited about it, and I'm also scared to death. And I think you need both things in your life. I think you know, it's like when I said a moment ago about deciding, I think I just want to go do this. Some people have these bucket list things that they think about, you know, I want to jump out of an airplane. I want to, you know, climb a mountain or do those sorts of things. For me, when I sat and I thought about it, it came down to, if I don't do this, will I regret it? You know, if I don't do this, will I stop and spend a lot of time wondering what could be? And we're at a point in our lives, and speaking about Michelle and myself, where our kids are grown. So we don't have to worry about moving the family during the school year, you know, things of that sort. The timing contractually was perfect. Everything just sort of added up in that way to where I really felt like I was getting a lot of signs, in my life that it just made a lot of sense. And to take on a new challenge at this point in your life, like I said, it's exciting and it's terrifying. I would be 100% lying if I said, well, and listen, doing professional football games, I mean, I was still basically terrified 5 minutes before kickoff anyway, every single game, because you sit there and, you know, about 5 minutes before kickoff, you're like, how do I do this again? I mean, you know, you're just, because you're afraid you'll go on the air and say something like, I've forgotten totally how this works, or I've forgotten the names of all of our players and all of those sorts of things. But I think you need challenge. And I think you also realize when you're at something that feels complete, I think the people that I work with did an amazing job this season, guys, of getting through what was not just a rough year, but was a rough couple of years. And they, you know, I felt like we represented the organization well with our end of how we did it. I was very proud of them. I was very proud of what we did. And so it just felt like, okay, this is a moment that feels like this ride can end and another ride can begin. And so here we go.
One of the things that came up after this was announced, Mike, was your eulogy for John Ward, which was tremendous. And I'm just wondering if there's one thing that you learned from him, that the most important thing that you took into your broadcasting career, what would it be?
I've said many times, Joe, that it was obviously the preparation. And I've said that 900 times, that it's the preparation. If there's one thing outside of that, it's that there's some showbiz involved in this. This is fun. People listen to this because they care, but you need to put some things in it that make them want to listen to how you tell the story. And so for him, it was different because he was like wildly smart and incredibly well-read. And he had the background of growing up listening to games on the radio in the 30s and the 40s and listening to other programs on the radio because there was no television. And so he could tell that old time type of story based on how he had listened to it. Obviously, I don't have that. I grew up with television, so I'm naturally not as good in that area, but I love what I do and I pour myself into it. And sometimes I think it's way too much, but it is who I am. We did the game 8 days ago that didn't mean anything, right? I mean, it didn't.
Yep.
And yet I was still thrilled to be there because I'm like, dang, I'm calling an NFL football game. This is just so cool. And that's the way I feel about it. And that's the way I'm going to feel about walking in to Mercedes-Benz Stadium on August 30th to call Tennessee Syracuse. It's going to be a really big deal to me. And it'll be a big deal the next week when we play East Tennessee State at Neyland Stadium. And that's what he said. And Joe, you remember this. We talked about it when John died, about the fact that he made pretty clear to me that I got to do what I do and I got to do it how I do it. And that was sort of the hardest part of that journey away from him, was figuring out who you are and then being able to really put that out for people on the radio, because that's hard. You know, that, because some people are going to go, man, you suck. And that never, and that never feels good. You know, it never does. But if you don't do that, then you can't really do the best that you can. You can't do because we all have a certain limit. It's like, this is the best you can do. And that was the thing that he taught me, is that you've got to really be willing to put it all out there and understand that you're not just calling a game, you're telling a story, and how you tell the story is something that the audience gets involved with. And they either like that or they don't. And that's okay. I mean, that's 100% their right, but you've got to go all the way with it. You have to.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Mike, congratulations on this. We appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning. You know, it's been awesome to watch the comments on our show that have come in about just how universally beloved that you are. So congratulations on a job well done with the Tennessee Titans, and very much looking forward to the next step with the Vols here.
Well, Robbie and Joe, thanks very much for having me on the program. And let's see what the next chapter looks like. I'm interested to see myself when I get in the car this morning.
I was going to say, you're driving over there today, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got work to do.
There you go. Absolutely. No, now, remember, this is the better time zone, Mike.
There's no doubt. That's one of the three or four biggest regrets is Central Time is God's time. So, I mean, the 11 o'clock news is not what I want, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mike, safe travels, man. I really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. The great Mike Keith, our guest on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your reaction to Mike Keith. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next as well. Take your thoughts on the general manager search. Lots to get into on the program. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Commodores taking on LSU with a 6 o'clock tip-off. Pre-game at 5:45. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Vanderbilt women's basketball presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball, coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium February the 5th through March the 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase tickets. Little Kim Mulkey, Joe Rexroad's favorite person in college sports.
Do you see what she like? Tried to give Kim Caldwell a baby gift, like
yeah,
during the
game.
Yeah,
yeah, it was like right before.
I thought she was trying to do it to her, like when she was trying to like call her defense.
Yeah. Like, hey, I got a present for
throw
you.
Throw it at her while the that was almost a huge win for Tennessee.
It was,
but they're gonna be fine.
Yeah, I think they're going to be in good shape. We'll see how that goes. Appreciate Mike Keith for being with us on the program. As you can imagine, Joe, our text line being flooded right now with love and praise for Mike Keith, which, as we've discussed, you know, it's difficult in any walk of life and or sports to walk away from a job having been, like, universally loved by everyone, and that's kind of feels what it is with Mike Keith here. So I'm excited for – obviously, what he's going to do with the Vols here, but what an impact he left on the Titans. And Amy Adams-Strunk making it clear in her statement that he will immediately be inducted into the Tennessee Titans Ring of Honor.
As he should be. Professor Keith, potentially, yeah, at some point.
Fun.
Professor Keith. But, yeah, I so fully expect, you know, sack will continue.
Oh, yeah.
That was a terrible impersonation.
It's okay. You try.
And touchdown Vols, right?
Yeah. We do have a question.
That was also a terrible call by my part.
We do have a question from Maddie on the text line that says, like, how many times next year will he slip and say touchdown Titans just out of sheer muscle memory?
Mm.
It probably is a concern for him. I don't think he'll do it.
I don't either. But to his point there, talking about being terrified, am I going to forget everybody's name, all that stuff, that's how people who are great at their jobs, like, that's what they have, right?
Yeah.
I bet you he'll, like, rep – not saying that about a million times before he calls that first game. You know?
I would assume so.
I was gonna ask him to give the people, the Titans fans, a little bit of dose of optimism, but I think it was better to just keep it on him and
probably so.
What's going on,
Mike? You give Titans fans some level of hope? Sure. I'm sure he could have come up with something.
He could have come up with something.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, it was awesome of him to join us, and he's just. Again, we talked about it last week when he got the job. He's universally you're gonna have a real hard time finding somebody who doesn't like and respect him and appreciate him and have good experiences with him. And he's gonna be great. He's gonna be great with the Vols. So for the Vols Titans fan, you feel all right. For the Vandy / Titans fan,
it's a tough one.
Tough scene.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
I always said Mike Keith is like Mexican food. Like, if you hate him, it's your own fault. It's not his fault.
Nice.
He's the best. Like, the last 14, 15 years, I've had him as my ringtone, and I'm not changing it because I know there's a – I get that call. It's still, like, the best call I've ever heard from an announcer ever. The Music City Miracle was the best radio call I've ever heard. So
incredible call.
He's a legend, man. And the way these guys – and I've heard a little bit from, you know, the Dodgers guys and, you know, some of these guys through the years – that's like you've got to time that so well. Sometimes just shut your mouth is the biggest part. And, like, he was just so good at it, man. His timing was epic. So, yeah, we're going to miss him. But Titans, man, we're dirt, man. We're the worst at everything right now, including announcers, I guess. So, yeah, I guess it's a good time for him to get out. It's a great opportunity for him because I'm a Vols fan. I know, Robbie, you are too. So it's a cool opportunity for him, but it sucks to look at where the Titans are overall. I'm glad he didn't talk about the Titans on the way out. That's good.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. Love that somehow shifted right back to the Titans are dirt.
Mike, what do you think about the dirt?
Al on the text line says, the real PK, Professor Keith. Maybe on something there.
Oh, there we go. Professor Keith, PK. Mike, what do you think if we start calling you PK? Would you like that?
I'm sure he would love it.
I mean, Mike's even nice to PK. Okay, that tells you what a nice guy Mike is.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you're nice to PK. You love PK.
Well, yes.
A valued member of our program.
I won't have any comments whatsoever this week when he comes in the studio about him carrying water for Chad Brinker. None whatsoever.
Robert on the text line says, touchdown Vols just doesn't roll off the tongue like touchdown Titans.
What about touchdown
What's
Tennessee?
What's really going on?
Touchdown
Tennessee.
I like
touchdown Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We should have asked that one too.
Well, he may not know yet, and you may want to keep it a surprise.
That's true. Yep. Yeah, we got to wait. That's right. Got to wait for that first one to see what he's going to do. I don't think he should tell anybody until he does it.
I agree. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We will get into the Titans, their search for general manager. Coming up next, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad at 745. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up here shortly at 745, which I'm very excited about, by the way.
Yeah?
I'm looking forward to the Rex Rant.
We're going
to
test you out.
Good.
Yep. I'm going to test everybody.
I look forward to it. Joe, I guess we never really talked about who we think should replace Mike Keith. Who is your leading candidate, if you're the Titans, to replace Mike Keith?
I think this was Stilley's one, and I would agree with Jonathan Hutton.
Yep.
I think, right? Was that his one?
That was.
And I don't know, the likelihood given, you know, that those guys left and all that stuff, but I think I always thought that Hutton was a potential successor at some point. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, like Kevin Ingram, you know, you think about locally, obviously I'm not even going to get into elsewhere. Of course, I'm sure the Titans are going to talk to people from other markets and things like that. I don't have any great ideas on that front, but if we're talking locally, those kind of mind, I will throw you a little underrated young, someone I think has a lot of promises. My guy, Lucas Panzeca, just throwing that out there.
For sure.
Who came and called a huge Nolensville High School playoff win. And
Brendan Rexroad all over the field.
Said my son's name correctly. Yes,
all over the field.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, no, I mean, he's promising. There's others, but those three kind of stand out to me. How about you?
Hutton, for sure. And our guest at 8 o'clock. I'd be interested to see if he'd want to do it. Corey Curtis.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
I don't hate it at all.
He's called games before. He did the preseason games for a long time on News 2.
I don't hate it at all. But if we're going to go, and by the way, if we're going to go that route too, I will say that Steve Lehman doing a great job on the Belmont. So I think you throw him in.
What about you?
Too.
You want to throw your name in the hat?
Yeah. No, that'd be really great.
I would love it.
Bro, Creed sucks. Yes, it'd be a really great call for the Titans fans. me doing play-by-play would be such a disaster. Holy crap. What about Stilley? Stilley's a professional broadcaster.
It'd go really well. He sucks! He sucks! Can you believe he made that pass? He sucks!
You're doing this, not me, for the record.
Oh, God.
I wasn't even trying to rip him, and you just, you know.
I'm not ripping him. I think it would be awesome. I would love to see it. I don't know that Stilley could get through a drive without just losing it. Can you imagine Stilley on the call for the Will Levis miracle flip earlier this year?
Would have been my God!
He would have been outstanding.
You effing up!
Have you seen the Minnesota Vikings guy whose name escapes me right now that every time some bad play happens, it's just an absolute disaster on the call? It's hilarious.
Oh, really?
Love it. The famous one is like Brett Favre when he threw that interception against the Saints in the NFC title game. He's like,
and he just threw an interception. I can't believe it. My God, he threw it right over the middle of the field. It's like, all right, there we go.
So now you kind of talk me into Stilly.
Keith says, just a PA announcer, just move over a booth. And coming back on the field. That's an idea.
That's a good Taylor Lewan out of retirement at that point.
My favorite is, to your point, kind of like the same thing with the Vikings announcer, is the – so this guy I love, Mark Champion, used to do the Lions. He's great, but it's like there'd be a play, and it's kind of the same idea, but it's like, okay, and Joey Harrington rolled right, he's throwing it in the end zone, and it's picked off as a returning 97 yards for a touchdown. You know, it's, oh, here comes the yep, and they just blew the game.
I find that stuff to
thanks
be
for listening.
Hilarious. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
Just the total shift in
just
vocal tone.
Totally just, yeah, just completely miserable. Oh, God. It'll be interesting, though. And, man, it's important. You know, I mean, Titans fans need some positivity.
They do.
They need some hope. They need some new names.
They do. They do. Megan on the text line says, good gracious, y'all need some background music for the YouTube stream instead of just silence. I always have a mini heart attack when Robbie yells, welcome back in, out of nowhere. Almost sliced my hand just now. It scared me so bad. Well, Megan, we hope you're okay. My apologies. And maybe I need to be a little calmer on the way back into the segment, Joe. Thoughts?
I didn't think that was a thing. I'm sorry. What are you cutting is my next question.
Yeah. Good question. Joe, what do you make of where things currently stand with the general manager search for the Titans? We talked about Diana Russini putting out kind of the list that the Titans went through. It was a busy weekend for the Tennessee Titans, and it got overshadowed yesterday by Vrabel to the Patriots and Cowden joining Vrabel in New England. But what do you make of the candidates that we currently know about for the Titans general manager job, and how quickly in a situation like this do you feel like the resolution will come if you're the Titans and the Titans fans looking for the general manager position to be filled?
That's a good question. I would think pretty quickly. I can't keep them all. I mean, how many people have they interviewed? 17? 29?
They interviewed a lot.
It made you mute yourself.
They did. Was it 7 this weekend?
It's just every like couple hours, they got another email from
I
the
I counted
Titans.
The emails. I believe I got 9.
9.
Okay.
There you go. 9.
I mean, just about everybody you can think of logically, they've hit. By the way, since you brought Stilly into the – I thought Stilly told us it was going to be a news dump with coaching firings on Friday. Stilly, are your sources failing you? Because I did not see that, which is interesting too, though. Seriously.
Like, is
kind of interesting that the coach staff is just
– Is there a guy, Colt Anderson, hanging around?
I mean, I guess it's like it's strange. Because the thing is, you know, we have new staffs now, right? Like, if you're going to lose your job, this gets to the point where the people who are in jeopardy of losing their job, like, they need to know.
Yeah.
They need to know what's going on, because now new coaches are getting hired and putting together staffs, right?
I would think.
So I actually thought for sure that would be correct, that they would, whatever they were going to do, announce something. Maybe they're not going to do anything. Wouldn't that just be a treat?
That would go over really well.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the Monday, and it's been a week. So we're talking about last Monday, Brian Callahan had his press conference and said that he would be speaking with the staff later that week. And we've not seen the aftermath of what that's been. So what if the decision is, yeah, well, we're just bringing everybody back?
Well, it could be. I will be very surprised after a 3-14 season if that's the case. Very surprised. It would be actually mind-boggling if that were the case. But also, again, like, they need to move into this, yeah, and let these people who are losing their jobs try to find other jobs. So I'm predicting today that we hear something on that front.
We'll see what happens. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Joe in Nashville. Joe, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, fellas. So I think the Vrabel thing is like, hey, you know, your ex finally got with the relationship she always wanted. Good for her. Like, she would have happily stayed here, but you chose not for that, or for that not to happen. So, you know, vaya con Dios. I see it differently than even AJ, who obviously wanted out and was pitching woo at the Eagles. Though you could argue, you know, Vrabel professing his love for New England in New England. But anyway, I know that's been talked about. So I wonder if Nashville is becoming Green Bay South, Are we a dark horse McCarthy team? And then also, I was thinking about this last night. If the circus has come to town, if the team's going to be bad anyway, and we're Green Bay South, give me the whole friggin' circus. I want John Gruden and Aaron Rodgers. They won't stab you in the back. They'll stab you in the face. Thanks, boys.
Thank you, Joe.
You know, I hadn't thought about the Gruden part.
Yeah.
Gruden was over there every once in a while. I see, like, some long video of Barstool where Gruden's like, ah, no, he's not covered theory. Get into this. And they're all sitting there like, yeah, Coach Gruden.
He seems to have found a new home at Barstool.
Gruden and Aaron Rodgers here.
I mean, again, for our purposes, it would be great.
I'm 100% here for it.
I don't know that the Green Bay South part of this is going to come to fruition. Like, first off, they're not going to get Mike McCarthy, so. I don't think that's going to happen. I am interested to see what happens with him. Like, is he going to, I guess, just be with Dallas
at
this point?
There were some reports about an extension here. It looks like that way, the way things have gone, right?
That's wild to me, but yes, it does kind of look that way.
Yeah.
The Rodgers thing, I mean, we talked about it with TD on Friday. I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world in terms of, like, a realistic possibility that could happen. There's just not a lot of great options at quarterback this offseason. And if you're going the veteran route, like, is Derek Carr going to be available? Do you really like Justin Fields? Sam Darnold, you know, I guess, depending on what happens tonight, probably not going to be available for Minnesota. So if Rodgers is out there and the Jets let him go and he wants to play, like, on the field, he could be your best option. And then you have to weigh what happens off the field with Aaron Rodgers as part of the discussion, too.
How good is he? Though, like, let's just remove all that stuff. I got to be honest. Like, I really tuned them out after like 3 weeks.
Well, he's 41, so that's in the backdrop of all this. Now, they made it, and he's talked about it, and Davante Adams has talked about it. They made it seem like he was playing through some stuff this year, not just the Achilles, but, you know, some injury stuff that he had to deal with. And at the end of it, he ends up with a 63% completion percentage, almost 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 picks, 6-7 an attempt. Like, it's not great. It's certainly not his prime numbers. But it's not awful either. Like, it's 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 picks on a terrible team. So, to answer your question, I don't know. Like, is he – he's not the force multiplier that he used to be. I'll put it that way.
Also, obviously, he's – you know, he I think from a coaching perspective, that might be the biggest, you know, point of hesitation, right, is actually Brian Callahan himself. Like, the way that he just seems to quickly turn on coaches and disrespect coaches openly. Well, I don't know that he's like a cancer in a locker room guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's that. But I do think, like, his way of operating, you have to – there's got to be an understanding, number one, from his viewpoint, and number two from the Titans, that, like, you're not in charge of this. Like, we want you to come in and play quarterback. Obviously, we respect your ability and your opinions and all those things. But, like, we ain't bringing Alan Lazard here. We ain't bringing the ghost of Randall Cobb. Like, I know you want some of these guys, and there's, you know, Cobb's retired. I get all that. But you're not going to have much
Nelson.
Of it. Like, you're not having a say on the personnel that we're going to get. You'd have to have that understanding.
And by the way, Aaron, have we introduced you to NWI, your new Alan Lazard?
He would love NWI.
He would. Any quarterback would.
Yeah.
Is Vrabel's already – I'm sure Vrabel's already got, like, plans to tamper with and bring – I mean, what is NWI – is he a free agent?
I think
he just signed a one-year this year?
I think so. I think they got to re-sign
him. God. NWI, get that winter gear, baby. I know where you're going to be next year.
That paycheck is going to be steep for NWI next year. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. Coming up next, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Because it sucks to lose, Gentry.
Trey, you ever need to show you anything?
Did you have another thought or no? I'm just curious.
Why?
It sucks. Losing, awful. Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
Oh, simpler times.
Mike Vrabel to the New England Patriots. It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrow. Joseph, with the beautiful clip from John Glennon and Trey Avery in the background and your hands escapade with Mike Vrabel, I'll turn things over to you.
Happier times. So you go back. We had some great ones, man. I wish that we could go back and you can't, obviously it wouldn't work on the show, but or you could read them. Like some of the Zoom message stuff when we had to do Zoom calls with Vrabel.
The chat?
At one point. Actually, there was a – one of his messages in the chat was just, Joe's a clown. It was going to become like my Twitter. Because I basically would just go in there and rip cars you with every – hey, nice question, jackass. Oh, Joe's God, a clown. We had so much fun. Yeah, Vrabel. Joe's a clown. Chris, I remember Chris Harris sent that to me. I was going to put it on my Twitter thing, but then I lost it. So.
Vrabel, devoted listener to Robbie and Rexroad. I wonder if that continues in Foxborough.
Oh, you better. Oh, he's obsessed. He's hate listening right now. Even as the Patriots are trying to figure out who he wants to hire for his OC. By the way, Kyle Tucker said if I was play-by-play signature call, another donut? Yes! Time to get a shutout?
Oh, boy.
So we're going to do a little test. I'm so sorry that this comes back up again, but it's not my fault. People are coming at me. I mean, yesterday, you're on the text thread where Stilly texts me, right? One of those texts that you got in church.
It was one of them.
Was Stilly, what, texting you, me, and Caroline?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like somehow, what the heck was he? It's all the same crap. It's unbelievable. It's basically, again, trying to relitigate Vrabel going to the Patriots. Big Joe is just absolutely obsessed with this right now. So he keeps coming after me. Now, he may just be trolling me. I get that, okay? Big Joe trolls me a lot. But I'm going to put this out there. I want people on the text line to respond, YouTube chat, call in, Twitter, however it is. I guess I could do a Twitter poll. This is an intelligence test.
Okay.
Let's listen to Mike Vrabel, because this is what Stilly brought up, and this is what Big Joe brings up, and it always keeps coming back to my word, nothing burger, which, again, I've already apologized for half of that many times. But let's, again, listen. For those who don't know, Mike Vrabel last year, during the middle of the season, during the Titans' idle week, he went to New England for the Patriots to be inducted to the Patriots Hall of Fame. That's right, idle week. And here's a segment of what he said that day as he got inducted to the place that gave him his spot in the NFL, that he was able to win Super Bowls and be part of a dynasty. Here's what Mike Vrabel said.
But I also want you not to take this organization for granted. I've been a lot of places. This is a special place with great leadership, great fans, great direction, great coaching. Enjoy it. It's not like this everywhere. Thank you very much.
There you go. So that's how he ended it. Today.
I consider myself.
So, yes. So those words, that's it, okay? Now, people went nuts about this. Stilly went nuts, of course. He goes nuts about everything. I said it was a nothing burger.
You did.
And I was wrong. And Gentry Estes from the Tennessean, he said, man, I think I'm taking Stilly's side on this one. Okay. I was absolutely wrong. I've written about this, The Athletic. Amy did not take kindly to this.
Yep.
Amy Adams-Strong did not take kindly to this, and it was part of the story last year of Vrabel getting fired, and Vrabel should have in some way communicated to her, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, there needed to be better communication. He's not blameless, like you said. He could have done a better job. I thought it was another burger because I can't believe that she actually took offense to that. But she did. So, fine. We can all agree. I was wrong in that part of it.
Yes.
People are still trying to tell me that those words that we just played is Mike Vrabel intentionally at that time taking a shot at the billionaire who paid his salary.
In the middle of the year.
In the middle of the season when he had a job. He did not want to lose the job. So first of all, let me ask you, Robbie. Was Mike Vrabel at that moment, because Joe thinks I'm the only person who thinks this, was Mike Vrabel at that moment taking a shot at Amy Armstrong?
I don't think so.
Freaking idiotic. You idiots. But I don't want to influence your answer, folks. If you believe that, that's fine. I accept either answer.
Yeah, you got to be open to this.
But I want you to respond right now.
Who was he talking about?
What?
Who was he talking about?
He's talking about the Patriots.
I know.
Okay.
But he said it's not like that everywhere else. Who's he talking about?
He said I've been to a lot of places.
Is he talking about Steelers?
He's not talking about any other place. He's talking about how amazing the place is. It's not like this everywhere. Why is this so hard?
But if it's special there, it doesn't have to be not special somewhere else.
You're just trolling me now. You know that
I'm throwing it out there. If it's special there, is it not special elsewhere?
Well, I would definitely, if you want to really boil it down, it sounds like he was saying it's more special than Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Tennessee, and Houston. Those are the other four places he'd been.
I know.
Okay. But again, this is the day that he's inducted in their Hall of Fame. So he said something nice about them, and people take it as Ricky's on Twitter is like, God, you're so delusional. What are you talking about? He's not. You know how stupid you'd have to be if you were in Vrabel's shoes to actually be trying to openly at a microphone rip your boss?
He and Robert Kraft were in the owner's box, and they were talking about this day. And they finally reached the end point of their plan of, I'm going to come out here and I'm going to get my ass fired by Amy Adams Strunk.
Yes.
And then here in about a year, you can hire me again. I think we're seeing the culmination of
it. They hatched the plan. You may be right. Dennis says, it was Vrabel playing up to the Patriots fans. It wasn't a shot at any specific team. Right. I know. And yet, you know how many people actually think this? Cameron says, who the hell do you think he was talking about? Yeah, Cameron, he's talking about the Patriots. I've done this rant already. I did this rant last year when I said it was a nothing burger. And again, I was half wrong on the nothing burger. I was half wrong.
You were wrong. You're not half wrong. It made Amy mad.
Yes.
The face is getting red.
I mean, so we've got a lot of – I'm trying to read through the answers as I go through this. More people are – taking the smart answer, which I appreciate. There are some who's like, Vrabel doesn't give any F, so he's definitely taking a shot. Yeah, he did. He didn't want to lose his job. I swear to you.
I hope he gets up there today.
He didn't want to lose his job last year.
I hope he gets up there today in his press conference and says, this is what I was trying to get done for a long time, and we've finally done it. We have Corey Curtis.
Don't do dumb that hurt the team.
Thank you.
Missed that guy. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.